Good morning. We're going to start our EMP. I'll be preaching from here today because I'll have to also do the worship. Okay. Let's pray before we begin this time. Thank you, God, so much for this time. Thank you for bringing us here to this place. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for Mid-Autumn Festival and just giving us a holiday to rest and spend time with family. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 28, verse 23. Isaiah 28, verse 23, until the end of this chapter. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. Amen. I was praying about what should I preach on, you know, whenever I get a chance to speak at EMP. Over the summer, I was focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, which that's finished, and I was thinking about, well, what should I do? And I have decided to teach from Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, starting with the Beatitudes, but I have an explanation for why I read the Isaiah passage first. So the Sermon on the Mount, it's Jesus teaching his disciples and us by extension a new way of life, right? Jesus announces in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, that he is bringing the kingdom of God, right? He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He's bringing a different kind of kingdom into the earth. He's brought a different kind of kingdom into the earth where God is king, and Jesus is teaching us, especially in the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching us what life in the kingdom looks like, that there is a different way of life that is lived in the kingdom. There is a different value system. The world values certain things, and the world pursues, you know, runs after certain things. But for us in the kingdom of God, there's a different value system. Often we talk about the kingdom of God and the Sermon on the Mount as the upside-down kingdom, right? Where the downtrodden, where the humble is lifted up, where the proud is brought low. But before we jump into the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, I wanted to share from Isaiah, because this is a passage I read, I think I read it yesterday, and what struck me was verse 26. It says, his God instructs him and teaches him the right way. That term, right way. And what I wanted to begin this series with was this idea that there is a right way of life. That God has a right way of life that He wants to instruct us on. If you read through that whole passage, it's I guess the analogy is using farming. I don't know anything about farming, but you can tell Isaiah is using it's a rhetorical question. He begins and says, when a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? The answer is obviously no, right? When you're farming, when you're planting something, do you keep on just working the ground and that's it? Of course not. You have to start planting stuff. You have to, right? In verse 25, when he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Of course. Of course, when in the surface, the ground is ready for the seeds to be sown, he'll start sowing the seed. Does he not plant wheat in its place and barley in its plot and spelt in its field? Of course, he starts planting. The farmer would not just keep on plowing the field. And then in verse 27, continues, caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin. Right? Isaiah is pointing out, caraway, you don't work with it, with a sledge over a caraway, and the wheel of a cart is not used for cumin. Right? Caraway is beaten with a rod and cumin with a stick. Grain is also ground, but it's not the wheels of a training cart. Oh no, it's not the horses that grind grain, but it's the wheels of a threshing cart. And then as verse says in verse 29, all this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom is magnificent. And Isaiah is using farming as an analogy, saying even within the art, the science, the practice of farming, there are certain ways of doing things. And if you deviate from it, it's not going to work. If you want to grow caraway or cumin or grain and wheat, you have to follow a certain way. And all of that also is from God. But what is the greater thing that this analogy is pointing to is our just the way we live our life in obedience to God. Israel, Isaiah is continually rebuking Israel and saying, hey, God has shown you, just as God shows a farmer how to do it properly, God has given wisdom and strategy and instruction to a farmer so that he knows the right way of farming and growing their crops. God has shown you, people of God, Israel, the right way of life. He's shown you the right way to worship, the right way to care for each other, the right way to, the right priorities, you know, the right way of, the right thing to worship, that we're not meant to worship idols, we're not meant to live in immorality and injustice and violence to the poor, but you're not doing it. God has shown you the right way to live. God has instructed you on the right way to live, but you're not doing it, and there are consequences, right? It doesn't work. God has put certain principles in this life that we're meant to follow, and if we don't follow it, there will be consequences. Just as a farmer, if he uses all the wrong methods, he's not going to get the crop and the fruit that he's longing for in this life. We're not going to live a blessed life in the Lord if we don't follow the right way of life. And this came to me because I was talking with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about kind of our culture, You know how our culture, especially like the past few years, we feel like more and more the media and the culture, the message that we're receiving from the media and from our culture is there is no right way. You almost can't say that. Instead, if people are very overweight, you know, like especially in, I think, in Western society, if people are very, very overweight, you can't even say that's wrong. Like you're doing something unhealthy because people get so offended. And there's all these groups that kind of advocate for all kinds of things. And anything that is considered the right way and people are outside of that right way, they don't want to be told. I mean, it's almost like the culture says, no, it's not that there is a right way and people are outside of that. Is everybody is right. Everybody should be accepted for who they are. And we need to accommodate for everything. You know, I mean, it goes, it's overweight, it's transgender issues, all kinds of things, abortion. It's all about, it often will shirk responsibility from the person. So, I mean, I know these are very big issues. That's why I think the weight one, I think, is a smaller one that we can tackle. I mean, how do you become so overweight? Because you eat unhealthy and you're not exercising and you're doing all these things. But what the culture seems to say is they're not dealing with the wrong way of life that you've been living. Instead, we're going to focus on, well, this is where I'm at, and so you need to accept me as who I am, and everybody needs to accommodate to me because I'm overweight. It's not about, well, I shouldn't have eaten like this, I shouldn't have lived this lifestyle. Even with abortion, I know there are many, many exceptional cases, you know, where there is rape and all these kinds of things, but a lot of abortion, it seems like, I just want to have sex. I want to engage in these acts, but I don't want to deal with any of the consequences. And so it's not about, well, this was a wrong way of life and now there are consequences and I need to take responsibility for it. It's no, if I can shirk responsibility, I want to, and you better not tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. I don't want to get into a whole debate, but it just seems to be the culture of our time is often saying, no, anything goes. You can't say there is a right way, wrong way of life, and society needs to accommodate to my situation, to my desires, to my needs, to you know, what I am. Anyway, so we were talking about that, and I was thinking about that, and I came across this passage, and I got a little bit, like, self-righteous. I thought, that's right, there is a right way of life that God wants to show us, and these people are not doing it, and therefore, we need to, I don't know, rebuke or say these things. But then, as I came to the Sermon on the Mount, and as I started kind of reading it through, just to kind of prep my mind for early morning prayer, I began to also see that that attitude of self-righteousness and this kind of proud kind of a desire to just rebuke those who are in these situations or who are in this culture and yeah, that's also not, maybe not the right way. Like the way Jesus was teaching on the way of life is different from what the way I was feeling. You know, the typically what the conservative right side, how they would do it is they, you know, there's a lot of arguing back and forth, and the conservative right feel quite arrogant and prideful about their views, and we want to impose it on those who are more liberal, and maybe that's also not the right way. So these were some of the things I was thinking about, that maybe the right way of life that God wants to teach us is not just that there are certain consequences and responsibilities that we have to bear. That's also true, but the way we go about maybe trying to proclaim that truth, our attitude is also not correct, and maybe there's even a different way of bringing about the values of the kingdom. You know, it's not just about rebuking those who are not living the right way, or we can point to all kinds of things that typically a Christian, conservative Christian can think of, that we point fingers at and we say, that's what's wrong with you. You need to take responsibility, and we want to rebuke these things, but maybe that's also not the way of life that God wants to show us. So we're going to embark on this series whenever I get to preach. But today I wanted to focus on, it's the intro. The Sermon on the Mount is Jesus showing us the right way of life. As Isaiah says, God instructs him and teaches him the right way. And I'm excited to learn from Jesus what is the right way according to him. And I know the context and the culture and society would have been very different back in Jesus' days, but I'm excited to learn from that and try to figure out how it applies to our context. But this morning, I think we can just go before God and first, in humility, you know, and ask him to show us the right way and meditate on, are we, you know, where are we failing, first of all, to take responsibility? Are we adopting the way of our culture of not taking responsibility and not understanding or accepting or admitting that there are right way and wrong way of living and that there are consequences? And instead of accommodating and accepting everything, we need to understand at least and believe and know that there are right way and wrong way of living. But also, maybe you fall on this end where you are maybe a little arrogant and kind of in this crusade mode of just rebuking culture and rebuking those on the left and speaking with a lot of arrogance and conceit and disdain. And that also, I don't think, is the way of life that is shown to us in the Sermon on the Mount. So we can go before God with both of these issues and just ask him to show us and humble ourselves in this way. So let's sing this song. Let's just sing a simple song, because there's no slides. We'll just sing, I Love You, Lord. And let's give him our hearts in this time. I think the right way of life, following the right way of life, it begins with a right relationship with God. And we know for sure that a right relationship with God begins with us worshiping him and loving him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. So let's sing this song and worship Him in this time. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what You hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. God, help us to learn the right way of life from You. God, a way of righteousness, holiness, purity, but also a way of compassion, mercy, grace, and love, and forgiveness. And I pray, Lord, that You will open our eyes, God, and help us to hear from You. Help us hear Your instruction and Your direction into the right way of life. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let me just move over there and we're going to go through some corporate prayer requests together. Let's pray for those in our community that are battling cancer. Let's lift up the people on this list and really ask the Lord to move and release healing and strength for those who are battling. Let's pray for encouragement for our friends. Let's pray together.
Let's pray for those who are ill and also in need of salvation. So let's ask God to move in their lives, releasing His healing, but also that they would encounter the grace, the mercy of God, the goodness of God, that even through this illness, they will encounter the presence of God. Let's pray for the church, our church members, that they'll be able to share the gospel with their family members or friends that are on this list. Let's pray. Let's pray for these different infirmities on this list. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for strength. Let's pray just for a supernatural relief from pain for our friends that's on this list. Let's pray for our church members going through COVID, and let's pray for our frontline medical workers for strength. As the numbers have gone up a little bit, let's pray for just strength and wisdom for those who are working in hospitals, that they would have strength and wisdom and perseverance in this time. Let's pray for those who are battling COVID. I think Pastor Kenny's family has gotten better, but maybe we'll keep him on the list. Let's just pray and cover, just for healing and smooth recovery. Actually, Caleb and his wife Verity should also be on this list. Let's pray for them as well. Thank you. Let's pray for those of us who are looking for a job. Let's pray for provision. Let's pray that God would guide them and lead them to the right opportunities. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's just pray for our city. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for John Lee. Let's pray for wisdom for the government in this crazy time that we're in. Let's pray for just against the wealth gap, that something could be done for the poor in our city. Let's pray for all the churches and ministries, that God would provide, that God would release His anointing, that there will be revival here. Let's pray for the young people, the students. Let's pray for domestic helpers who are in a there's a lot of difficulty that they're facing, and families in distress here in Hong Kong, that God would release His peace over families in this, in our city. Let's pray to Him. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray that the staff would be united and filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray that the staff would work hard, work well together to really build the church, to do His work in this church and through this church. Let's pray for P. Sam, that God would really cover him and anoint him and speak to him and fill him up with the Holy Spirit. And let's pray that just for God's covering. Pray for the families of each of the staff members as well, for favor and grace and covering and protection. Let's pray. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry, for welcoming. Let's pray for Pastor Samuel Navarro, who is leading this ministry. Barista is not really happening right now, but so it's kind of what partnered with welcoming to you through the use of the Pacific Coffee coupons. So let's just pray for welcoming, that those times of gathering after service will be fruitful and people would feel welcomed and loved as they come to church. And let's pray for logistics. Let's pray for Tim as he is. Logistics is like coordinating all the different aspects of service. So he's always at the front, making sure we're following the order and everyone is here and on time. So let's pray for Tim. And let's pray for new volunteers for that team. Because right now it's just Tim doing it. So let's pray for these two ministries under hospitality. Pray for our worship and sound team and our AV team. So myself and Wesley were leading worship and sound, and AV is led by Pastor Kenny and Rachel. So let's pray for anointing. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray that these two ministries will fulfill the purpose well, really help the congregation connect with God and worship God through the Sunday services. Let's pray. For our pregnant moms, we have Hina on this list, and I'm sure there are others within our church that are going through pregnancies. Let's pray for protection for the baby, for the mom. Let's pray for smooth delivery. Praise God for Tayon, who gave birth to a healthy baby. So let's praise God for that, and pray for Hina and Sung as they are getting ready for the birth of their child. And so let's pray for our pregnant moms in our church. Pray for the house churches meeting today. Fontana, Happier Valley, Hopewell, K-House, OPR, and Princeton. Let's pray for really fruitful times, really great time of gathering and connecting, praying for each other, ministering to each other. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you that we can come together and pray to you and seek your face in this way. Thank you so much for your mercy and grace in our lives, God. I pray that today that you would instruct us and show us the right way of life, God. Help us to obey you, Lord, and just look forward, God, to studying the Sermon on the Mount further. And so we're thankful that we can have this time together. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today. And EMP will be on tomorrow at 7 a.m. as well.